Hey, this is More Than Velocity. I'm Bart Payer here with Ryan and Jordan. And today we're talking with the Prospect League. Very excited. That's a league that's in the Midwest. I think they're up to 21 teams now, running from Iowa over to Pennsylvania down to Tennessee. They've got some things we're excited about. Kind of share a similar philosophy around player development. And we just wanted to get to talk to them and talk about some of the things we're doing with them and that they're doing with their players. And I'm going to let you guys do your own introductions, kind of explain what the Prospect League is, who you are, and kind of your roles there. So I don't know who wants to kick it off. If David, if you want to start.
Sure, I'm David Brower. I'm a commissioner at the Prospect League, entering second year. Last year being my first, but really kind of a year zero as you come in and really take an evaluation of everything that's going on and see where we can go from here. It's tremendous growth opportunities for this league. I think it's got a real strong footing. We've got 18 teams across seven states. It was set an attendance record last year that included the largest jump of any collegiate summer league with 23% growth last year. So those are some things to hang our hat on. I take a lot of pride in our ballparks. We have a tremendous collection of unique venues across the league, a lot of minor league type feel to them. And then also the player success. And this league really goes back 6 decades, all the way back to its origins as the Central Illinois Collegiate League in 1963, one of the original college summer leagues. And so through the years, it's turned into the Prospect League in 2009 and rebranded itself and continue to build this league into one of the preeminent college summer leagues in the country.
Awesome. And John, what's your role there?
So I'm the owner and happen to be the manager of one of the Prospect League teams, the Illinois Valley Pistol Shrimp. And we've been in the league for going into 5 years. And it was interesting because we originally joined the league with the idea that it would support the guy I was working with. The time in the Chicago area, we're doing a lot with pitchers in particular, but high school guys going to college guys, and kind of our mantra was prepare, recover, compete, and that circle. So we've been doing that for a while. So when the Prospect League called and looking to add a team, it was kind of, for us, it was a natural extension. I've like a lot of us on this phone call, I'm a baseball lifer, so the opportunity to trick my wife and tell her it's only a 2 month season and I got 10 months off, was too good an opportunity to drop. So I absolutely love it. I love our league. Our partnership last year with ArmCare, I thought went exceedingly well. Not only am I a coach, but I'm also on our marketing and branding committee. So I was really excited about our partnership, and rolling that out league wide last year. So I, I'm a junkie when it comes to health and performance improvement, and we'll get into it, but I'm really excited about, number one, the way our players, some of them have heard of ArmCare, some of them come from schools where they've implemented the program, but the exciting thing is, a lot of these guys, it was new to them. So how we implemented it, what we're how we're using it going forward are all things I'm looking forward to talking about.
Yeah, Bart, if you don't mind, I'm gonna actually kind of go into why I think the partnership was so good as best I can before my voice goes out on me. But David had actually reached out on wanting to do a partnership, and we have, gosh, dozens of these collegiate leagues that reach out every single year wanting to do a partnership. And when we start digging into it, they just go, "Hey, we want you to give us money to advertise." But the Prospect League said, "We want to take care of our players. We want to set ourselves apart. We want them using ArmCare." And to me, that was a no-brainer to kind of set these guys up for success, because when I was coaching in college and I'd send my guys to these leagues, it was always just, it was a nightmare because they would come back in the fall and they would have, another 75, 85 innings under their belt. Nobody was keeping track of those actual pitch totals. There wasn't the exact things going on that you needed, but the Prospect League actually wants to take care of these arms. And for us, we have the ArmCare Pitcher of the Week. We have the Pitcher of the Year that we do with the Prospect League, where we really kind of try to help highlight these guys that are, you're throwing well, using the system, doing different things like that. And to me, it was almost a no-brainer to kind of jump in with these guys and go, yeah, this is the league that wants to set themselves apart, is number one, being development focused. And David, I don't think you really hammered that out, that you guys are a development league. You guys are developing players, which you're not just giving someone a uniform and a place to play. They're getting better. They're working on what they need. They have coaches like John that are actually, you know, invested in these players' improvement. And then they're also using arm care to fix those imbalances. So when they go back to school, number one, they're a better rounded player and they're going to be a healthier player. Hopefully I summed that up okay. Is there anything you wanted to add in on that, David?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head. And really our mission is player development focused. And, you know, we're stewards of these players in the summer. And those coaches that send players to our league, they want to get them back, obviously, with further development, both skills and even off the field in some ways, maybe some maturity in that regard. But most importantly, they want to back healthy. And, you know, I think, as you said, it was a natural fit for us to partner with Arm Care, you know, being a leader in the development and health space for pitchers. You know, I think that just really lends itself to our mission, where this league has had longstanding pitch count rules in effect. Also, you know, expanded rosters to help with load management and all these things that you want to do, not only to protect your pitchers, but all your players, but specifically when you get to the arms, because there is a finite number of innings that you want to throw in the summer. There's, you know, you've come off a grueling season and you're going to jump right back into the fall. So, you know, I think all those pieces coming together is really beneficial for both our league, our players, you know, the schools that these players attend, and Arm Care as well.
Yeah, I would add to that just my editorial comment on the state of college baseball, in particular with the transfer portal rules as they currently exist. What we're seeing in the summer ball industry is the reality is fewer and fewer schools are sending out Friday, Saturday, Sunday guys. They don't want, you know, a lot of coaches just don't want to put them out there and expose them. That's the reality. The net effect of that is we're getting, which is fine, but we're not unlike most leagues, but we're getting pitchers that have not thrown a lot for their schools. So you can't just throw them in a summer ball league and say, go give me 100 pitches. It's just, you know, you can't do it. So in particular, we, for very good reasons, have pitch count rules to kind of help protect those arms. So we're getting guys that development is really critical. And to be able to have a means of measuring strength, of measuring the metrics that we need for health and performance, is really crucial from where I sit, because, you know, I used to carry 16 pitchers. Now I'm going to carry 20 pitchers with the expectation, certainly the beginning part of the summer, guys are going to go, you know, on a very limited pitch counts, and you're going to need 3 or 4 pitchers to get through a game. That's not a bad thing. It's just, it is what it is. But we want to be able to make sure we put them out there, throw them the appropriate number of pitches based on, you know, how much they've thrown and where the development is. So again, for me, you know, when we put in Arm Care last year, that becomes part of our onboarding program with our pitchers. And as you can imagine, position players fairly quickly pick up on it. I mean, these guys, you know, the vast majority of guys who play summer ball really do want to get better. They still, you know, they have aspirations of playing beyond college. So they're really open to the knowledge and understanding and trying to understand, you know, what this is all about. And, you know, they may not know, and again, what I, you know, my a great promo, what they may not know, all the vernacular we use when discussing planes of motion and da, da, da. They understand their arm score number. I got to be above a 1.6 on my strength velocity number. That's the metric. My arm score has got to be above 70. What you guys have done is made it very simple for the player to understand without getting wrapped up with too much mechanical thinking or what I need to do. And so what we do when we onboard our players, we literally turn the program over to them. And so I, as a coach, can monitor it. Obviously I'm in charge of, you know, managing a game and making sure the popcorn gets sold and all that kind of stuff too. But the ability for the players to take ownership of it is a key ingredient to, I think, why the arm care program works so well from a player ownership standpoint.
I'm curious the reaction of the players, especially who haven't been exposed to arm care before and are coming in and you're saying, hey, this is a tool. I want you to learn how to use it. What's their take on it?
There's genuine curiosity, and it's great. It's on your phone. They're all used to mobile apps. Go to the website, learn about it yourself. I'm trying to democratize as much information as I can without overwhelming a kid. But in particular, for those guys who have not necessarily, who've not had that kind of program at their college where it's more of a traditional, I'm going to monitor your number of throws and do a workload that way, which is fine. And obviously it's the way the industry's done it for a long time, but to be able to actually put a dynamometer on someone and measure it and give them a baseline, and they can see differences between my score and my range of motion versus the guy next to me and how that ties back into, for them to understand that I work out because we were supposed to work out, but to understand that, hey, strength actually matters. If you want to be repeatable as a pitcher and you want to measure, and we want to measure fatigue, all of that stuff ties into you be able to make a contribution to your team. And again, because our league, because you just don't see Friday, Saturday night guys anymore, we're getting players, pitchers that desperately want to be impact players when they go back in the fall to earn their innings for that following spring. So we, in that sense, have a captive audience with guys that genuinely want to get better and are willing to be very open and dedicate themselves to whatever it takes, whatever it takes to get better. And obviously it's got to make sense. I mean, they've got to understand intuitively, and it's honestly, it's pretty non-threatening, right? We're talking about bands, we're talking about leg bands. So we're not scaring them and saying you need to bench press 225, 10 times. Now they'll get to that, but because I think when you first look at something like bands and those crossover symmetry bands, a lot of pitchers obviously have been using them for years. They use them really just as a warm-up. And the idea that I can actually use those for strength and developing eccentric motion and really kind of stabilizing my joint, I'm telling you, that's relatively new to these guys. 99% of guys who see bands for the first time, that's just a warm-up routine. And frankly, most of them do it wrong. They just bang through it really quickly. So that's another story on monitoring the quality of it. But, our reception league-wide has been fantastic. It's I love it as a coach and as a guy in the league. When I go on the road and I see the other team have their guys, there's pitches down in the pen, they're clipped in, there's guys doing their off day work with the, with the bands. And so I love it. And, that it's not just my club who's bought into it. It's something we're doing league wide. And frankly, the coaches, summer ball coaches come and go in a lot of these organizations, just like players. So for those coaches, it's new. And my hope is these coaches take it back to their schools. My hope is these players go back in the fall and say, hey, coach, I did this arm care program. I really liked it. It's something we should look into, and that we as an industry can kind of organically spread the word on there's ways we can really monitor health and performance and improve on field performance.
Fantastic. And so, you're talking about your team, but this is league-wide that this is going on, correct?
Yeah, league-wide. And as I said, that's the thing. It's like I get excited when our bus rolls up and I see the other team and their pitchers are down in their own bullpen, doing the stuff and having those conversations with the other manager during batting practice on, how's it going? Does it understand? And I get it. A lot of them my background is hitting. I don't know anything about pitching. I don't know what that you're going to get that. But the idea is you got to jump in the water, start that journey. You don't need to know co-contraction and all the vernacular we use. It's a pretty straightforward app that even if you do the baseline stuff, your kids are going to get better. If you're not doing any harm, They're only going to get better. And once really, once you get a, I call it, you know, that internal champion, it spreads pretty quickly among the team. So last year out of our, we carried a roster of 36. We had 18 guys doing it religiously to do it. And the rest, you know, were position players that, you know, just chose not to do it for whatever reason. So it spreads, you know, it spreads pretty quickly.
And so I'm sure you've got some schools that are common feeders to the Prospect League. Are they familiar with arm care? Are they you having conversations with their trainers and coaches over there about the development, or how does that go?
I haven't had specific conversations with a specific school or a trainer at the school, but I have had some conversations with a couple college coaches that are FETUS players every year. So for example, I'll throw my good buddy Rich Hill under the bus a little bit. Rich is the coach at Hawaii, we had a pitcher last year who's actually Sebastian Gonzalez was the Prospect League pitcher, arm care pitcher of the year last year. And he's in his freshman year at Hawaii this year. Now, Rich, by way of background, is going to tell you he's not really a pitching guy. He's a hitting guy before, you know, he's a pitching coach. But he's got another guy, Harrison Bodendorf, who was with us a couple years ago, who was a freshman All-American 2 years ago. So Rich, number one, loves the Prospect League. He sends players to other teams in the league as well, which is how much he loves the Prospect League. And he loves the fact, and he tells me this quite a bit, his players come back better, healthy, and happy. And for him, those are three big things for him. And so I said, well, when you say healthy, he said, they never have arm problems. They come back in, they're ready to go every fall. And so we've had a conversation, and he actually saw us doing it. He came out to scout this kid this summer and saw us doing it. And you know, and he's looking at the dynamometer and, you know, what's the guy, you know, laying on the ground doing. So it gives me an opportunity to explain to him exactly what he's doing. And, you know, that's how we're making sure we're sending your kids back healthy, which for him is like, hey, great, I get it. Coach them up, make them better to do it. So, you know, it'll those conversations. And it really, for my money, has to come from that player who has the relationship with his pitching coach, right? When they go back in the fall and they, you know, the pitching coach sees them doing an arm care routine, and the dynamometer is, you know, a new toy for a lot of people to look at. That's, I think, where we're really going to start to see the growth, where we spread it back to the players who've gotten better doing it, right? And so when we've got a guy who's had a significant step up in performance this fall, which is now getting a fair number of innings for his school this spring, and he told, and he, you know, he attributes a lot of his performance gain to not only the mechanical stuff he worked on last summer with the Prospect League, but what he's doing with his arm strength and the imbalances. His you know, not unlike most, he had a huge deficit between internal and external, and, you know, didn't throw a lot for us until that got straightened out and ended up, you know, doing really, really well, and just kept it going. Bought a dynamometer, bought all the stuff on his own. So he's 100%. Like, this makes a difference for me. And he's a person that wants to play beyond college, right? So he's like, I want to do what a professional wants to do. And now that's, you know, that's when I talk about ownership, one of the things I try and get to as a coach is it's not going to be my job to hammer you every day that you're doing this. You either want to be elite or you don't. You either want to focus on nutrition, sleep, recovery, all the stuff you're supposed to, because we're going to give you the information. But you're either going to take it and use it, or you're going to process it and do with it what you will. So the guys that get it, you know, really do, you know, once you lead them to water, they're more than willing to drink.
And to kind of extend what John was saying, you know, in this league, a lot of our players are on the younger side. We're getting them as they're coming into college, or maybe don't have a lot of experience in college. And I think that educational aspect, that growth aspect, introduction to things like arm care are so important to them, whether it's on the field, off the field. And that's one of the things that we're trying to really put an emphasis on here in the Prospect League is trying to align what we do with as much as what the schools do on campus as that bridge in the summer. And, you know, I think arm care has obviously played a big role in that on the field.
Yeah, there's so much. I mean, obviously arm injuries are still happening at a record rate. It's still an epidemic on what's going on with arm injuries. And, you know, when I listen to your podcast on recovery and things like we talk about, like I haven't used ice for a number of years. But I'm telling you, that podcast that you guys did on ice, no ice recovery, too, that's new information for a lot of people. I mean, we still, I also coach high school. We still see pitchers post-throw, the trainers wrapping ice around the arm and putting the compression, the band around the elbow. Because
now, John, the one thing that gets me is you're in a cold climate for a lot of the year, too. Exactly. I'm in Salt Lake. We just played our first game the other day.
Yeah.
And we finished our game. My starter doing his post-exam. He's doing everything he needs to do. Their starter's walking around like the Stay Puff Man with ice bags all over him. And it's like exactly. 37 degrees.
Exactly.
It's already cold enough. We don't need to throw ice on our body. But
yeah, but Jordan, you get it. It's because well-intended people, you know, trying to, do what's best for the kid, at least what they feel is best for the kid, and just not not having the right information. That's, we're still on the reality is we're on the tip of the iceberg and kind of spreading this information and getting it out there. But, you get a little better every day.
Ryan, I've never seen you be this quiet for so long.
I'm listening because this is a very hot topic. Jordan and I have met with a lot of different college summer leagues, and there's a lot of complaints in the sense that they also have to have a lot of pitchers coming in and out. Like the teams might say, hey, you can have high profile summer leagues. You can come in there for a couple starts and then they come out. And I think one of the problems is you lose a lot of continuity. The player development thing, I think, is so big. We have players actually, Jordan and I, we work with quite a few college guys, really talented, who have had injuries and now they're ready to go again. A league like yours is truly, truly impactful because that's going on all the time. The other thing that people might not realize and college coaches might not realize is that the early parts of the season in the fall, when the athletes come back, are the highest injury rates in college baseball. A little different than in the major leagues in the sense that they've played all summer. They might take a little bit of time off and then they come back to college and something happens. In Major League Baseball, it's generally in spring training. They've had pretty long, cycle off, where I see what you guys are doing and just kind of listening to how you're communicating about the product and about the training at a super high level. That, these college coaches are getting somebody back who's been monitored, who has been working on all these deficiencies and then their imbalances, who may be doing, velocity enhancement potentially in a safe manner. I think, this is, you guys are setting a trend. There is another guy that we've had on our podcast, Greg Morrison, who's up in Canada, the same thing. He's got a background in kinesiology and also in certain therapies, and he realizes the power of this. And I just think that, college coaches who are out there, they should be seeking leagues, that are going to look after their players, especially young ones. And people don't realize, let's just say it's a Tommy John surgery, those things last for less than 4 years, and if you're going to a college summer league, and you're having one of those surgeries, you're 19 years old, you're probably going to have another revision by 23, especially if you throw over 95 miles an hour. So, you got to take care of it. We also know a lot of agents who are advisors. They're actually advising kids to get away from the college summer leagues. Hey, you don't need to play there, whatever it may be. Especially first rounders, they're projected first rounders. They're not letting them touch a ball at all. Now, I don't know, if that's also beneficial for the player because they're not seeing batters. They're lacking adrenaline, the competitive way. Sometimes they get them into at the big league level or the minor league level, and we're still trying to, you know, ramp them up again so that their development gets delayed. So, you know, for me, listening to all this, I just got a really good feeling inside that, you know, this could light a fire for these other college leagues to say, hey, we want to protect our players too. You know, we want to be on board with what you guys are doing to create a safer college model. And I know, you know, when I was thinking back to my college baseball, we had a lot of injuries in the summer too, because they're just, you know, there it wasn't the monitoring wasn't really great. I don't think the communication from the college coach to the college summer league coach was very good. But now, you know, you guys are working together, you know, as far as if the college gives an off season or an in summer program for your players and you guys are monitoring them, you're looking at the same thing. So, you know, that really can do wonders for the future of college baseball for sure.
Yeah. When we onboard our pitchers, part of it is with each one, I have a conversation on, you know, what are your goals for the summer? Give me your top 1-2 goals for the summer. And also the pitching coach that you're coming from, what goals do you have for your player that you want us to work on? And obviously we do it for all the players, not just our pitchers. And generally, you know, it's going to fall under, he needs to throw more strikes. He needs to develop a secondary or third pitch. And always in there is we'd like to see, you know, more velocity, all of which we can all agree. Yeah, but we get it. Velocity, cells, command, all that stuff. So then that allows us to begin the conversation of, okay, how are we, what's the right way to gain velocity? And bang, we can go right to, hey, we're going to measure you now. And if you don't have the strength and the balance, we're not going to, you know, we're really not going to put you on a velocity enhancement program until you're ready for it. And they, you know, and they get, and so the college coaches will, you know, they'll set the goal, but we have the tools now with the Arm Care app to be able to sit with the player and say, okay, if you want to have command and be repeatable, strength matters. I mean, it's just like, if, you know, I sound like a mini Ryan when I say strength matters, because I know that you say it so often, but you know, when it's so easy, and I see so many, you know, I get it, but families want to do what's right for their kid, and they're going to go out and do that, buy a ton of hitting lessons, buy a ton of pitching lessons, and very few focus on strength. Very, very few focus on even just body weight strength stuff, because it's not the on-field performance, right? And so I spend as much time counseling parents on, you know what, just do basic strength, just work on strength and athleticism. It'll really, really help on all the other things that you really think you or at least you think you should be caring about. But when we onboard those players, that's meaningful, because it gives us something to, when we offboard them, you know, how did we do? How did you do? Did you hold up your end? Did we hold up our end? And this is another one of those tools that, yep, you got better. You picked up 3 miles an hour. More importantly, you got healthier. And that's why you're able to throw 85 pitches without fatiguing. You know, the whole notion of doing a post-exam is very new to players. They don't, you know, they it's but all of our guys get it, because they want to know, okay, how much did I lose, and what does that number mean, and how does that affect me going forward, because it all ties back into, do your off work get stronger, it handles that number. And some, you know, it's great. I mean, I love being able to coach a summer league game. Pitcher comes out, I don't have to say anything. 10 minutes later, they're down in the bullpen with a dynamometer doing a post exam and sharing their number, right? And it's a beautiful thing when you have guys that know what they're doing and buy into it. And they're buying into it, not because a college coach or John Jakimic is telling them they need to do it because we fill out the lineup card. They're doing it because their bodies feel better. They're doing it because they feel and see the on-field performance improve, and it's a snowball effect. I mean, it's absolutely been a game changer. Even, you know, even at the little high school where I coach at, and they're all really, really smart kids. They're, I mean, all, you know, Ivy League type of students. So with a group like that, you give them the science. In fact, they just got back from Arizona where they won a Sabre conference for the third year in a row. So I've got my baseball team, my high school baseball team, our future front office analytics guys. That's who we are. So this is all about training the trainer and so they run the whole program for the pitchers, and they all get, you know, they all get internal external rotation, all what the numbers are. So that's a lot of fun. And these, you know, these guys, these are kids who throw 68, 72 miles an hour, but they love it. They're getting better. They know what their numbers are. And they're really, really enjoy doing it. And it's one of those things that, you know, as what I would tell coaches is you've got to give your players time to do this. And it's tough, you know, at the high school level where you're trying to run a quote unquote team practice, it's different a lot of times from college where you don't have the time, you can't break out individual skill worker development. But, you know, I'm working for a head coach who's seen the value in it, doesn't necessarily know a lot about it, but just understands that we're not having any injuries. People are healthy. People are happy. And gives us the time put that into our practice plan. So it's worked really, really well. Jordan, so what's new on the arm care development front? This, I wanted to ask Ryan and Jordan if there's things coming down the pipeline from a consumer standpoint that we can.
Well, we got Android out finally.
I saw that.
So we finally got Android out, and as everybody knows, it is a bare bones model right now.
It's in test. Beta. Yeah.
Yeah. It's working on all those different things, but so there's no paid version of Android yet. It just is testing, tracking that data. But Bart, do you want to expand on that a little bit?
Yeah. Android's it's a different animal together, which has been really frustrating us trying to get this out. And we're able to get out, all the testing. You can do all the exams and all the back end works correctly. You can't get your, training in Android yet, but if you are able to log in anywhere else, you can get your training after you've done your exam. So it all ties together, and that hopefully will be changing fairly quickly. It's number one priority to get that up and running, but we're just excited about it because there's, you know, it stinks to say, hey, you need an Apple device to run it, and we have, you know, we're not just in the US, we have people all over the world, and Android's king when you kind of leave the US. And so that was a big thing for us to get that going. But as a part of that, with that in mind, we've actually been doing a lot of back-end work, and Ryan's been doing a lot of back-end work with updating some of the training and making sure that it's as effective as we want it to be in specific areas. And that's not out yet, but we're excited about some of the stuff that it's going to do. And Ryan, I don't want to promise anything because we don't know what the final thing is going to be, but you can kind of jump into a little bit of what that is.
Yeah, there's going to be about 65 plus new exercises. And one of the big keys is we're going to break them apart. There's some that are going to be very heavily unilateral, meaning single arm. And this gives some recovery to the throwing arm when we can alter those. So that's really coming down the pipeline. There's an extra section that we're putting in. It's a little bit more comprehensive for elbow stabilization. So, you know, people will really, you know, kind of enjoy that. The database section is really going to look at a two-factor system in how to scale the workload and also the shoulder balance. So the first thing we'd see, you know, we take the data, are they fatigued? Do they have inhibited recovery? Are they weak? So we would then assess how intense the training should be and how we can progress and regress based on if they're fatigued or they have poor recovery. And then the next is, how do we account for the shoulder balance scores? So there's all sorts of different elements in an algorithm. And these things are all updated in the new arm care specialist course. It's coming out. It's almost done. So the first one was 6 hours. This is now 10. And there's a lot more practical elements of of coaching, coaching exercises, utilizing the data, and really getting into what we call our SPEAR model of training using these two factor systems. So, you know, on that element of things, there's going to be a lot for people to chew on. And I do see a really strong upward progression for athlete strength, even more so than what we're seeing now. So, you know, it's going to be pretty amazing once that's all set into play.
What do you guys do with the data, or how do you use the data? An 18-year-old, a 12-year-old, and I know you're taking in that data. Have you done anything with that? And my corollary question to that is there any value in adjusting for body type, endomorph, the tall, skinny kid versus the squatty, thick kid? Or do you, you know, at least from a data, you know, macro analysis perspective?
I can jump in there because I'm a faculty member at a couple schools, but one being Louisiana Tech University. So I'll start with the kind of the anthropometric piece here. We are starting to look at actual lean body mass associations to the arm care data. And there is some similarities between total mass and lean mass, but we are writing a paper on how each of those elements differ as far as competitive metrics. So we're making jumps from the arm care data, then we're taking into account the process metrics, the spin rates, the breaks, the velo, you know, the commands kind of stuff. And then we're looking again in the next rung. So we got these process metrics, and then we have the actual statistics, you know, how these things are coming about. So, you know, you need a little bit more advanced technology to look at these things, but we're studying it too to see, you know, the anthropometrics. Myself and a team in Canada just won a research grant to look at the changes in lean mass and its effect on arm strength data. So there's going to be a lot coming out in terms of the connection from the body, you know, and the throwing arm, because I'm interested in that stuff, you know, like you. What happens when the athlete loses their body weight relative to their strength? Their arm score is going to come up, right? But I really, you know, that's what I'm thinking. But it needs to be confirmed, because now there's this added layer of, you know, nutrition, another focus of it to maintain it. You know, potentially when we do see lean body masses, maybe there's no change. You know, arm strength goes down. It's also another theory, but it needs to be, you know, reviewed. I think I answered the one part of it, but there was another question in there.
Yeah, I was just, because I know when the players get their the PDFs to them, and it's, you know, how I compare, you know, to relative to other college guys, and, you know, because they do ask questions about that, you know, on, you know, what does that mean, and so that's interesting from their perspective, obviously.
Yes, we have a pretty big database that we've been sifting through to make these designations a little more granular by age, you know, rather than competitive level. So these things are also coming too. I know that we have a lot of agents in particular who've asked us, you know, kind of, they want to know where their athletes rank, especially too, when they're kind of thinking about a player that they haven't actually signed yet. You know, is the juice worth the squeeze? And people know, you know, you take somebody that, you know, in the first round, they could be declined. And that means that, you know, if they don't pass their medical review, you know, they can be really at a loss investing in this player and not getting anything back. So they're really focused on, you know, they want kids that you're using arm care. They want to see where they rank. And there's also the MLB combine. They're going to start looking at doing strength assessments too for the throwing arm, not just the grip, but the shoulder. And so that's going to be really important for agents too, because they're going to say, hey, I want you to do this. Or they might say, I'm not sure. You know, I'm looking at your arm care data. You know, if they're testing that, you know, that's a problem, but at least they're going to figure out how to fix it. So, you know, all of those normative ranges, they are important. At the beginning, it was like, hey, let's just focus on the individual and the report. You'll get, you know, the comparison, but now, you know, people are starting to get a grasp of this stuff, and they know the expense of these injuries. and they want to know that the arm is good to go.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that is another update you asked. That's another update that's coming, is the reporting after the exam, and we are, yeah, the benchmarking is going to get much more specific in terms of at least age, and we're looking at some other things too. We just want to make sure that it's significant and usable.
I'm just spitballing, thinking out loud with what we can do at the Prospect League, David. We, even if we did, because we will know if we onboard every pitcher in the Prospect League. Obviously, we have the Arm Care Pitcher of the Year and so forth, but we can even have the metrics like who improved the most and, you know, percentage strength and stuff like that. I'm just kind of thinking of ways that we could really help co-market what we're doing with Arm Care, because it doesn't really matter where you start. It, you know, how did you finish?
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of a leaderboard of those variables.
Yeah, well, you guys are definitely doing a lot of things right. I mean, you can see by the growth you're having, and we're excited to be a part of that. I mean, I know there's a lot of other things going on, and just like I said at the start of this, we seem to have the same vision around player development and health, and so it's been a fun thing for us to be involved with. So, Jordan, Ryan, you have anything else before we wrap up here?
I got nothing.
Good on right. My end.
Well, you guys, I appreciate your time. And until next time, take care.
Awesome. Thanks you guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. We appreciate being a partner of Arm Care, and look forward to bigger and better things in the future.
Absolutely.